the 1st of December, and we're meeting with Mayor Margot Davis and General Manager Bernard Smith. Going to the first item, what's been happening lately, the big things, of course, Christmas in the Highlands, a massive turnout of people, and then Spending Glen's underway too. So, Margot, would you like to expand on that?
Yes, good morning, listeners. And if you pop down to the main street on Saturday afternoon and evening, you would have seen an amazing celebration. And this year we were fortunate, and for the next 2 years as well, to receive some additional funding. Mm-hmm. So it was ramped up this year. It was called Christmas in the Highlands Illuminations. And really the Open Streets program funding has helped build that out a bit more. And so we saw our usual amazing lights, we saw activations, we saw workshops happening, so not just over the one day but over many days. So that was great. Santa obviously arrived, the kids were amazing and excited, and Spending Glen is happening again this year. Every year, for the community's information, every year council have $10,000 set aside to support Spending Glen. And that initiative, it's important that that continues because it's a local economic stimulus initiative. And this year, luckily, we had a group of really motivated business owners who took on Spending Glen to deliver that for the community again this year. So there will be late night shopping two Thursdays and one Saturday, and that's when the draws will happen as well down at Town Hall. So the Thursday nights is around 5:30 for the draws, and then the last one on Christmas Eve is Saturday around lunchtime.
Well, great, Margo, for that wrap-up. And I noticed a lot of visiting stalls from all over the place, Stancorp, Tamworth and so on. Moving on, the next item on page 5 of the business paper, item 6.1, the Merrill Minute on the what is now the bill that's gone to Parliament on the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act. Now, Marco, I gather this is already legislated, correct? And therefore, it's a fair issue to unravel, and I guess local government association would need their resources.
Yes, this is a huge issue to support housing, increase housing diversity and delivery within our community and more broadly in other regional and rural areas and across the state, in fact. Basically, the planning laws that have been reforms recently passed by New South Wales government and those still before it represent a really big shift in state planning systems, the biggest shift in decades, I would say. So whilst these changes are being promoted as solutions to the housing crisis, they don't really address the real causes of delay. And in several areas, they do pose serious risk to rural and regional councils. So the Merrill Minute really, and I must thank our Director of Place and Growth, Rhianna Sheridan, for helping pull this together. It's her expertise, it's her area of expertise, and she really did a good job to support this Merrill Minute coming forward. It's also important to note, I think, that it is our role as local government. When state government are making decisions and pushing things through that don't support local government and local communities, that it's our job to try and rally together. And that is certainly the vibe that we felt at Local Government New South Wales conference that we went to last week, and also country mayors. But what we've done in this Merrill Minute is not just say this isn't good for us, but actually to propose some solutions which are tried and tested in Queensland. I'm really looking to simplify the process. We're also going to be advocating for state government to respond quicker to LEP changes, because we're doing our revising our LEP, our local environmental plan, this year, this operational year. So the other big thing is that when we make changes to our local environmental plan, our LEP, which we're doing this year as part of our operational plan, it can take 12 to 18, even 24 months in some circumstances for the state planning system to approve those changes, even when they're minor, even when they're laddered up to our strategic plans. And that's just not good enough. If we're trying to stimulate housing, we're trying to be more interventionalist in doing that in our community and more broadly, we need those LEPs to be signed off much quicker. So we'll be advocating for that. So it was a lengthy Merrill Minute, and it comes up with a whole lot of balanced reform and suggestions as to how we can actually solve the problem. So we will be advocating to the Planning Minister for these changes to occur. We will be requesting that the local government association do the same thing. We'll also be in contact with country mayors who represent us really well from an advocacy point of view, and trying to get some movement around this issue.
Okay, well, thank you, Margot. And the next item is item 7.3 in the business paper, page 18, relative to the 24-25 annual report, and an extension, Bernard, until the end of this month.
Yes, look, the annual report is an extremely important document in terms of it, in effect, is a report card on what the council has undertaken over the previous 12 months. So council did receive and adopt its annual report. Now, there are two parts to it. One is the financial statements, the audited financial statements. They are still being completed, and hence they will not be formally finalised and adopted for a few weeks yet. However, there is the balance of the report as well, which indicates there's a number of statutory reporting requirements, and I'll give it a simple example of the number of meetings each councillor and mayor has attended, through to some other compliance requirements, as well as a general rundown of what the council has delivered, what the council has achieved. You know, we often talk about what we're doing at the moment or what we're hoping to do, but the annual report is really important in terms of what the council has achieved, what the council has done. So I'd certainly encourage everyone to go and have a look at it, because, as I said, it's the report card of the council.
Yeah, well, just to add to that, just to summate it all for everyone, what we saw in the report was a strengthening of governance, lifting of organisational capability, improving financial discipline, and a real sharpening of the long-term planning that underpins reliable service delivery and infrastructure renewal. So we are making grand steps forward. It's a big Titanic, Council, and so we will continue to see that. Just to note a few other things, we made decisions around improving healthcare access by enabling local businesses. We really strengthened our regional advocacy, took some early steps and big decisions toward major legacy projects, and also a steady organisational renewal that we're setting the foundations for and continuing. We also have to be clear about our challenges as well. We do have ageing infrastructure. We do have rising costs. We do have reduced revenue because of the financial assistance grants, which we're advocating to change. And we have declining external funding pressures as well. So we're trying to balance all of that. And this report is a good reflection on how we're modernising our organisation, planning for long-term sustainability and improving services and strengthening livability. So we've made some good strides. You know, in a year's time, we'll come back to the next annual report and we'll see even further progress.
Thanks, Marco. And the next item, our fourth item 7.6 on page 27, Bernard, the draft code of meeting practice, it's been on exhibition, so it'll simply now be an addition to council's policy documents.
That's correct. The government, in effect, sets the code of meeting practice, and the code of meeting practice are the rules around which council meetings are conducted. You know, council is a complex business. We have many, many reports. Often we'll have robust discussion and debate. And it's important that, you know, given the seriousness of the decisions, there's a strong set of rules and regulation around how that debate is conducted. The state government did release a new code of meeting practice. A lot of the previous requirements stayed the same. There were some minor tweaks. But most importantly, it is about ensuring that the decisions of council are made in a respectful, appropriate, professional way. The discussion around the table is held in a professional way. Everyone has an opportunity to speak, but ultimately it's about good decision making. It's about respectful decision making.
Okay, thank you, Bernard. And the operational plan periodic review 25-26, it's that's mentioned on page 31, That's probably just a mention, is it?
So council resolved a little while ago to move from half-yearly reviews to quarterly reviews because it's important that council can see the progress in the operational plan, and it's a good check-in for everyone as well. So we are seeing some genuine progress in this year's operational plan. Still a lot of work to do, obviously, because we're one quarter in, and we are delivering with some constraints around resources. So we do need to be continually mindful of filling those vacant positions. It's hard to get the right workforce, the right people in the right roles at the right time to do the right things. And that's what we're focused on going forward.
I think that problem is fairly much universal from farms to businesses in town and